Blog Talk Radio.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold.
Okay.
Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, white gold, white gold. Black Renaissance, why go, why go, why go? It's a new time of era. We don't wanna see the heroes. We fighting against each other. It's the love that we need with one another. You understand? Trust might be love. No.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to another Sunday of Urban Society. This is a Indy Morrell production, Dollhouse Radio. You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And I'll say first off, Happy New Year, because this is the first show of Urban Society for the new year, 2016. So a big shout out to everybody for the new year, although it's kind of late, but I guess better late than never. Okay, so we have some issues to go into tonight, naturally, as always. And the first issue I want to touch on would be the Jada Pinkett Smith Oscar suggestion. That's what I'm calling it, her Oscar suggestion. Then I want to go into the Bill Cosby issue. And after that, I want to go into the Spike Lee's Chirac movie, which came out late last year. And then I want to go into the, I got an issue here entitled Donald Trump, Racist or Not. And the other issue I want to go into will be Apology for Slavery. I have a question mark behind that, so therefore that's Apology for Slavery. So those are the topics we're going to get into tonight. But first off, I want to also say, well, the weather is quite... inclement here in New York. I don't know how it is in the rest of the country, but based upon the news that I've seen, this thing that hit New York hit a lot of other places too. But I found it interesting to have learned that it didn't hit everywhere in New York. Like case in point, I'm here in a town called Ossining, New York, and there's another town called Poughkeepsie, New York, which is maybe 30 or 40 miles from here. Snow didn't hit there at all. I mean, figure that out. But that's the way it is. I mean, weather. You never know what's going to happen with this weather. So that having been said, I hope everybody is reclining back warmly and snugly in this kind of weather. But one thing to consider, I do want to say this also concerning this time of year and also at this moment of the year. We are in the winter season, but a good thing to consider is that winter is almost over. We're already at the very end of January. We have February to go through, and then March is already spring. I try to look at it positively like that, because I am not a winter person. So, as usual, before we get into our main issues, I want to first speak on some other issues firstly. And one of them, I mean, it's just as important, but I didn't list that as one of the main topics, but it's the Flint, Michigan water situation. Just out MFing rages that something like that could take place, you know. And what I had found interesting, I think this took place in, well, what I'm going to read here is something concerning that singer slash actress Cher Bono, I think that's still her last name, the situation wherein she had donated, you know, X amount of bottles of water to the people in Flint, Michigan. I mean, kudos to her for that. I mean, you got to, like I said, you know, take your hat off to her for having done that, especially being that no one else actually did that. Or if they did, we weren't exactly told about it. Okay, let's see what's going on here. Okay, I'm just seeing here I'm getting some messages, but not exactly. Okay, because my phone is chiming and I want to be up on what's taking place all around me. So as I was saying about this issue with, not necessarily an issue, but the thing that Cher did with giving bottles of water to all these people in an area where the water is very much unsafe to drink. Very much unsafe to drink. It's outrageous. And what I have here is basically what I just said. But I also have something here that says, when officials began drawing water from the Flint River at a cost-saving measure, however, the city did not treat corrosive water properly, which led to metal leaching from old pipes. And the article goes further to say that the crisis prompted President Barack Obama to sign an emergency declaration clearing the way for federal aid. And I was told by another article that he didn't exactly label Flint, Michigan as a disaster area because that would have took some other kind of situation. It's political, and it has to do with, I guess we could say, wording as to what can be funded, and then again, what isn't funded, and then also how it is to be funded. I mean, words, they play a lot in our lives. That's why it's important that we understand words and the part that they play in our lives. But a lot of times people like to just use words to befuddle issues. Exactly. Anyway, concerning this issue still on Flint, Michigan, this activist named Michael Moore, he really gained popularity back during the time when the, the Columbine shooting took place. I guess one of the first horrific school shootings took place. He was doing a lot there in terms of, you know, trying to get some kind of proper gun legislation enacted. Anyway, Michael Moore, in reference to this issue, he said that this is a racial killing. Flint, Michigan is 60% black. When you knowingly poison a black city, you are committing a version of genocide. And in a real sense, you know, I can relate to that. Definitely so. I mean, because how could somebody do something like that? You know, just, I mean, for whatever reason. And it be known that some devastating consequences can come about and have serious detrimental effects on the health of the people in that area. I mean, right now people want to talk primarily about the children, but hey, That's a concern too, naturally. But what about the people, period? Men, women, and children. But I mean, they want to just throw it on the children. But yes, like I said, that is a concern too. But it's the people there in that area of Flint, Michigan, who are still at risk. But also, as I was talking about Cher initially about, you know, donating bottles of water, I had also read in some other article that some other person, a black guy, some rapper or whomever, I forget his name right now. I didn't really take down the information. But he also had decided to donate X amount of bottles of water, many bottles of water, to this area there in Flint, Michigan, for the people who really don't have any water to drink because the governmental system, their apparatus, allowed this situation to take place. But you know what? As it has been said, it had been being noticed by the people in that area, especially the people in that area, that the water didn't look right. You know, the water didn't look clear anymore. The water looked actually brown, B-R-O-W-N. Now, really, who in the hell is going to drink some brown water? I mean, especially coming out of a faucet. Who's going to do that? Nobody. And then again, I mean, the drinking the water is one thing. But then again, consider, people have to bathe and or shower in that water. And who's going to shower in some brown water? I know I'm not. And I mean, this situation has been going on for at least a year or more. I mean, more so the situation in terms of the added coloring to the water, no longer clear, but now a brownish, reddish type color. And I mean, no doubt people were bringing officials, government officials, to these areas saying, look at my water. They saw it. But what did they say? Oh, boil it and you'll be okay. But evidently, it wasn't okay. It's just outrageous. So I'm going to move right along out of that issue. But one thing before I do go, I also want to say this concerning Cher and that other rapper or whomever he was. I mean, kudos to them for having donated the water as they did do. But remember, those are bottles of water. You can't shower in bottles of water. You can't bathe in bottles of water. So the issue still is, how are these people bathing if they're bathing at all? Showering if showering at all? That's a real issue. And then again, why is it only that these few individuals are contributing to that crisis? I mean, normal citizens, as they are, Cher and this other guy. You know, but then again, I mean, Detroit. Don't they have a basketball team called the Detroit Pistons? I mean, these guys making all that money and they're in Detroit. One would think that they, too, would get together and add something to the coffers of these people. But evidently they're not, or if they are, nothing is being said about it. So, I mean, it's just outrageous and stuff like that. It's just unfortunate to hear, but then again, we have to hear it because it is, in fact, happening. It is, in fact, happening. Okay, we're coming up on 15 minutes to the hour, but not yet, because I want to keep an eye on things as they are, because as of now, I want to mention that I'm now doing something new. I'm doing what's called running the boards. That is more things that I'm doing other than just, well, talking. You know, some might say just running my mouth, but yes, I do that too. But yes, I'm doing something new here called running the boards, and therefore I'm going to be selecting the music to be played from the song list that we have here. So therefore I also have to keep track of time so that we can play the songs that we are supposed to play. And that is what I'm checking to make sure that I will do. But in the meantime, let us keep moving right along because time is, in fact, moving. So, okay, we have spoken on the Detroit situation there. And the next issue I want to bring up is this issue about George Washington, the first president of our country, and this book that was written about him. But right now it is, in fact, 15 minutes to the hour. So I'm going to go on and engage the next song. Let us hope that I get it correct. So here we go. We'll be right back. This is a song from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. Jasmine Sullivan, Brand New. Here we go. Okay, I'm not hearing the song yet. Maybe it has to engage. Okay, I'm not hearing the song. The song is not playing. I thought all I had to do was just push the button there for it to happen. And I did just push the button, but it didn't happen. Okay, I'm going to wait for my executive producer to come on, or maybe I should try another song and see what happens. Okay, here we go.
If I had a dime for every new Twitter rap stream, and all the girls would be riding, working two jobs, but the boys at home making mistakes, put it don't disturb on the door now. Then I buy a cheap dress every Friday, cause I go to every show on the weekend. And I gotta look good when I'm reppin' ya. Yeah, he about to sign a deal, he about to go.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell Dollhouse Radio. We just heard the song from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. That was Jasmine Sullivan, her song entitled Brand New. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And I'm looking at the board here, and it looks like I might have a caller here. Let me see here. It might be, I think I'm going out to, let's see, 6868, if that's the number. Let me see what happens here. Okay, area code 6868, you're on the line. Are you there? Okay, I don't see that taking place, so let me mute that. And let me try going to area code 64, just a second. Okay, I was just giving some more information about that. Okay, hold on for a second. Let me go back there. Okay, great. Okay, I got this. So therefore, we don't have a call. Sorry about that. But like I said, I'm new at this board running thing, and I'm looking to see what's taking place. I see lights and stuff going on. But anyway, so we don't have a caller, so let us excuse me for laughing like that, but this is interesting, very much so. Anyway, so I was just talking about before we had gone to the break and heard the song from Jasmine Sullivan. Okay. Okay, I was talking about this new book, children's book, they call it, that has come out about George Washington, that first president and slave owner, about how, well, the book is something about, let's see here, where it says, children book paints slaves as happy baker for George Washington, something about them going to bake a cake for his birthday. Let me just read here what I have here. It says here that the narrative of America's deplorable past has been changed in Hollywood films, but a children's book has gone even further to suggest the slaves the nation's first president owned were proud to serve him. But, you know, let me stop there because a lot of people have a misimpression, I guess I can say, are misinformed. I'll put it like that. Because, I mean, as quiet as it's kept, but no, in this case, it's wanted to be told as much as possible that slaves were happy and go lucky. That's where the phrase came from, in fact, happy-go-lucky. The slaves were supposed to be considered to be individuals like that. However, we must not get it twisted and not think that there were some slaves, in fact, who were happy. I don't know if they were happy to be slaves, but they were happy and content with their lot, with their condition. I mean, because you might want to consider and remember, that the slaves were born into this situation. In a real sense, they knew nothing else other than what was around them. So they just felt, well, some just felt that they had to adjust to the situation at hand and, you know, try to make the best of what they had with what they had. But by the same token, you had others who, born into that situation, who had a different mindset. And they couldn't stand it. That's also true. So, you know, all I'm saying here is that, you know, you did have some slaves who were, well, I won't say, like I said, happy to be slaves. I mean, because it's a very nuanced situation here, or even to try to explain it as it actually was. There are a lot of nuances involved with that because we're dealing with individuals. And as we know, or as I've come to know, we all are the same, but yet at the same time, we all are different, and vice versa. We are all different, but at the same time, we are all the same. So anyway, this paper that I'm reading from here says, the Scholastic book, A Birthday Cake for George Washington, that's the title of the book, tells the true story of a slave named Hercules, who was the head chef to George Washington. Quick question. I guess a lot of us who haven't read history don't know or didn't know that slave owners got a real kick out of naming their slaves names like Hercules and Samson, even Plato and or Socrates, even Euripides. They got a real kick out of naming their slaves those names. Just unbelievable. That's another issue there. Anyway, it says, Hercules and his daughter, Delia, are troubled when they find out the key ingredient to the president's birthday cake is missing. Delia and her father go on a journey throughout town to find the sugar and make the best cake possible for the president. And now, naturally, like this book, children's book, is getting a lot of flack. And I believe, well, it should get a lot of flack from people who do read and happen to have chanced upon this book. Because remember, black children are in schools, and not just black children, but, you know, black, not toddlers per se, but, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 year old children. I mean, their minds are just starting to develop, or even just starting to get in contact with knowledge, book knowledge, book information. And I mean, to be told something like this, and then at the same time, you know, not told anything else about slavery, which is a part of American history, and then again, a seriously negative part of black history, because slavery impacted us especially. Oh, it impacted white folk too, but they had a lot of benefits, a lot of benefits from that impact. We didn't get any benefits from the impact of slavery on us. So, you know, it's not good that, well, as educators know, it's not good that that black children would be introduced to this subject from that perspective, as if slaves were happy and the beneficent master and or mistress. Because in actuality, it was and wasn't like that. I mean, even in this piece here that I have here, it does mention that the author, who supposedly went through great pains to dig up this information, also says that what I got from this article was that it was a fact that George Washington, at that point in time, because he wasn't in a particular part of the government, that if he were to take his slaves to a certain state, that after a period of, take his slaves to a certain state, and if they stayed there for a certain period of time, then they were automatically freed. That was per a law that had been invented, written up. Okay, what I have here says that 10 years before Washington brought Hercules to Philadelphia, the Pennsylvania legislature passed the Gradual Abolition Act, a law that allowed all slaves owned by Pennsylvania residents the ability to free themselves after 6 months of living in the state. Members of Congress were exempt, but the law made no mention of members of the executive or judicial branches of government, which wouldn't be created until 1788. And so therefore, this didn't apply to George Washington. The article, this section goes further to say that when George Washington became a Pennsylvania resident, he was confronted by a legal imperative to free his slaves. Technically speaking, he had to free them all after 6 months of labor in Philadelphia. But of course, he wasn't keen on letting them go. And the article goes further to say that, however, this particular part of the history of those slaves of George Washington was left out of the book. And, you know, I guess that was to make Washington look better than what he wasn't, maybe. I don't know, but evidently, as this writer of this piece says, that that part was left out of the book, but it should have been included in the book if they wanted to have written a well-rounded history of George Washington and that cake that those slaves were going all about town trying to make for him. But okay, if I'm not mistaken, we are now we got about 5 minutes before the break. I want to keep my eye on this break situation, because we're going to go and go into another song, and I'm hoping that this time we can go on and play the song per the board that I have here. But again, now going back to this George Washington issue and this cake, or more so this book that has been written. And again, you know, for children in grade school. And as we know, well, I know that when I was going to school, basically, we were told nothing about slavery other than that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. That's all that we were told about slavery when I was going to school. And then through reading, I came to learn that Abraham Lincoln didn't free anybody, didn't free any slaves. And to go back into what I just said there about what we were told and the way in which we were told that in the sense that Abraham Lincoln was such a great man, that Abraham Lincoln had a real liberal type mindset, that he was highly interested in freeing Negroes, which wasn't even the case. So you see, well, like they say, the more things change, the more they remain the same. And then now, I mean, it's almost like it's really getting worse, because they're talking about, you know, some happy slaves, well, to use their language, some happy darkies, because he let them tell that darkies are supposed to be happy, especially back then, because the mindset was, you have to really consider that mindset that was back then. And I will say, through having read some historical books, I mean, it's out MFing rages, that mindset that white folk then had about black people. I mean, it was like they really felt that black people had no problems, because it was like, how can they have any problems? It was like they don't have to go look for a job. They got a job. I mean, I can kind of chuckle at this, but it's not even funny. And it's interesting to me that I can chuckle at this in this day, because when I was first reading this stuff, no, there were no chuckles coming out of me. I was basically horrified and just outraged at what I was reading. But anyway, like I said, they really felt that that we had the best life. I mean, really. And they felt that, I mean, whites, I guess it's better to say racist whites at that point in time. It was rare to find a non-racist white at that point in time. Well, anyway, so they were thinking, like, you know, what kind of problems can blacks have? I mean, they get free room and board. That was their thinking. They don't have to find work. I mean, what? They can live. They work out in the sun. They work out in the open air all day long, you know, and stuff. Oh, it was just outrageous, just outrageous. But again, the mindset of the people of that day, and I will say that mindset, the mindset of the people of that day, the mindset of people today is interestingly similar. Interestingly similar. It really is. It really is. We can consider that from the way these cases keep popping up with police just, well, not even police just killing unarmed black people, but just even this current situation with the situation in Flint, Michigan. I mean, how could that really happen like that? And I mean, like, not just for a few days or a few weeks, but for at least a year, and it may have been more than a year. Because who knows how long the people there have been complaining about this, but nothing was done. It was like, what, they don't need no water? Or they don't, almost as if, you know, our systems could filter that polluted and corrosive water that we were told was okay to. It's just outrageous. Just outrageous. But okay, so I want to move right along here from that situation with George Washington and his slave Hercules and that slave child who were going to bake him that cake. But okay, good. I just wound that down, because now we're up on the second music break, and now we're going to hear a song from let's say Jaquan, his song entitled Hood Hop. I think that might be your first time playing here. So this is Jaquan, his song called Hood Hop. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Just got to check me. Got a lot of diamonds around your neck. Laying down and dying for your respect. Got a baby mama that's a wreck. It's check. I'm throwed in the fit with flows. It's harder than bad.
gold and I'm flat. The rappers I pose as a threat. Trip, I'm exposing the tech. I fall like rose in the net. I'm a well-known chiller. Bitch, come with me, then she get no dinner. Maybe two things, yeah, maybe one pill, yeah, maybe one drink. Then I finna go and I wake up in the morning and I just can't remember. All I know is she sung and she sung like a tenor. When I was in her, tap, tap, when I was in her. Fuck that night, I remember. Yeah, just got
the shit.
Me too.
Got a lot of diamonds around your neck.
Me too.
Hanging down and diving every day.
Me too.
Got a baby mama that's a red.
From Jaquan. I've lost the name of it, unfortunately, but that was a song from Jaquan. And so welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morrell Dollhouse Radio. And we're moving right along. We just left the issue of that book about George Washington and his happy slaves. I say it like that because when I say it like that, I think about many of my Facebook friends. They were posting about how they were so outraged that someone could call you know slaves happy. But my thinking is, I guess maybe they hadn't read much history on our enslavement in this country and the attitudes that that slaves had toward and about their enslavement. Because in my opinion, we ought to see it just as much as we see us today. I mean, in the society that we now live in and the condition in which we find ourselves living in this country, I mean, it's actually deplorable. I mean, again, consider the situation that just is happening in Flint, Michigan. I mean, that's just one example and an extreme example, no doubt. But then again, you know, there are other examples as well. I don't even want to say not as dire, but it's a different direness in each of the situations in which we find ourselves in. But yet, you talk to some people, ain't nothing happening. Ain't nothing wrong. You're going to be happy that you're living in the time that you're living in. And yes, I guess we are. But that don't mean at the same time that we be oblivious as to what's taking place, if not with us in particular, with many others of us and that we see. It's still attitudes and mindsets and perceptions, I mean, coming from ourselves as well as the general society. But it's convoluted and it's a lot of nuanced elements in this situation. But it takes thinking for us to come to terms with this, pull ourselves up out of this, to deal with it. It takes thinking. And right now, I mean, a lot of us just aren't thinking the way we ought to be thinking. I mean, and it's unfortunate that, like, a lot of our educators in particular aren't there yet. But I can say, in my opinion, I always give this woman props, Dr. Stacy Patton. She's a Facebook friend of mine, and she's also on Twitter. I'm connected with her via Twitter as well. She, in my opinion, is one of those who are there. Her mindset is, oh, my goodness, it's right there. It's almost, I would even think, so what, similar to mine? It really is. I mean, granted, she has more education than I do, a whole lot more, God bless her for that. But yet she's using it in the right way. She's at least trying to get our minds engaged into what is, in fact, happening with us and around us and all of that. So anyway, in reference to that, I have something else I want to bring up before I go into these main issues. This doctor, Frances Cress Wessling, she passed not long ago. I think it was either coming into the new year or right into the new year when she had passed. And one of my Facebook friends had posted, okay, and also let me mention as well that around that time that that singer, entertainer, Dave Bowie had also passed. And this Facebook posting has said, the fact that I'm seeing more RIPs for David Bowie than I did for Frances Cress Wessling from black people speaks volumes. And yes, it does. But again, I mean, I won't say it should be understandable, but we ought to understand it from within the context in which we find ourselves in. A case in point. When I had read that, I had responded on Facebook by writing this, and it is in fact related, but just listen. God bless, I can laugh at this now. I wrote this. I said, in fact, back in 1989, I felt as if I was an outcast. No one in the circle of those I hung around were conscious in any way, except being conscious the liquor bottle was half empty. This was about the time also when the movie A Soldier Story had come out. I hadn't seen this movie till maybe 1992. However, listening to a rap jam by Chuck D's Public Enemy, which also was around 1989, he had a voice on the rap track say, the black race can't afford you no more. Not having seen the movie, but hearing that said and reflecting upon those I was then hanging around, I thought that phrase was directed at me and those of us of consciousness. Actually, how could I think otherwise when everywhere I looked, all I saw was Negroes sucking up to white folk and telling me that I had to learn to kiss some ass if I wanted to make it in this world. Whatever. Finally, in 1992, I then had a job again and had gotten a membership at a video rental store. I had seen the movie A Soldier Story on the shelves, not knowing anything about the movie other than it had a black cast. I rented the movie. It was then I learned where the phrase, the black race can't afford you no more, came from and to whom that phrase was being directed toward. Honestly, I did feel a sense of relief. So you see, it always seems to be there are more of those of us unconscious than those of us who are conscious of our condition or situation in this world and are concerned about changing it. Okay, I think now is time for our next music break. No, I'm wrong. No, I am right about that. Okay, let me check my paper to be sure. No, it's not time for a music break. Okay, good. So, let me continue in saying what I was saying there. And especially about the part where it says, so you see, it always seems to be there are more of those of us conscious than those of us who are conscious of our, let me read that again. So you see, it always seems to be there are more of those of us unconscious than those of us who are conscious of our condition or situation in this world and are concerned about changing it. And conscious, unconscious, those two words can be interchanged with knowledgeable and or ignorant about our situation. But truly, though, I mean, like I said, when I first heard that phrase, I thought, oh, shit, because the people that I was that I was around, like I said, the only thing they were conscious about was if the liquor bottle was half full or not, and when can we get some more? Anyway, another Facebook friend of mine has said concerning Dr. Frances Kress Wessling, she was not mainstream famous, so nobody knows about her. Most people don't even know anything about her. And then I responded to that by saying, yes, basically only those of us who sought to make ourselves conscious of the world around us and the people in it and where we are and were in this society and any given society. I heard of Dr. Frances Kress Wessling, although I didn't agree with a lot of her opinions, but then again, who does agree with everything everybody does say? Because in my opinion, she liked to deal in symbolism. I mean, there is something in symbolism, yes, but I think that she went too far into symbolism. It's almost like a cult thing, almost. But it's more to our situation than just symbols. I mean, indoctrination or propaganda, these things are part of the situation too, but there are more things involved with our situation than just that as well. Okay, so I wanted to have read that out there, but now let's go on into this issue about the about Jada Pinkett Smith and her suggestion about the Oscars. Okay, I recall I had seen her post something about this on the day that had been allotted to celebrate Dr. King's birthday, which was 18 March, although his birthday is, my mistake, 18 January, although his birthday is 15 January. So my number is the third Monday of January has been allotted for celebrating his life, his being. Anyway, I liked what she had said about the Oscar situation and why she said what she said. Because basically, it's obvious to a duck that black people just aren't represented in that forum wherein we should be. I'm saying we because, well, I'm black, but then again, I'm not an actor or actress. But nevertheless, there are black actors and actresses, and they act just as well as white actors and actresses also. So why aren't they awarded based upon their craft and their talent? The only reason has to be because of, well, racism. And like I said, she even went into the situation of, you know, it's time for, number one, black people to begin to, well, black actors, more so not black people per se, but I guess black people too on the peripheral in terms of those of us who watch our at-home setting. I guess she is talking about us as well. I say us. I don't watch that. But, you know, I'm talking, let me just say, for lack of a better word or term, the general us, okay? That might sound better. The general us. She's talking about us also. But more so, she's talking about the actual black actors and actresses. They ought to boycott the Oscars. Don't show up there at all. As if, you know, it, no doubt it won't do anything. But again, that's something that is symbolic. It is something that is symbolic. And then she's saying that not only that, but then black actors and actresses and producers and directors and I guess camera people should get together and see what they can do so that they won't be slighted by this all-white institution. I know some might say, well, they have a black woman the head of that, but that's camouflage, if nothing else, lack of a better word or term. That's just MFing camouflage, just so they can say, well, you can't say we're racist because we got a black woman the head of it. Nonsense and BS, both. Both. And, well, God bless that black woman who is in that position. But, I mean, I can say she ought to know better. But that's not the perfect way to say that. But if she's going to be there, she ought to make her being there meaningful and purposeful. Not just to be there just as a black face. Because, I mean, that doesn't do anybody any good, and I'm quite sure it doesn't do herself any good either, because there are other people watching. I mean, white people as well as black people and other people, too, looking at her and say, what? But then again, there are those who say, well, she's doing a great job because she ain't doing a damn thing. It's interesting. It goes back and forth, but then again, it depends upon whom you're talking to, what that person's mindset is. So, going back to what Jada was saying, I'm totally in agreement with all that she said. Exactly. And then also I had heard, I had also seen it via the internet on Facebook, that someone else had posted something else that this other woman, Janet Lewis Herbert, had come forth and put out her video speaking against Jada Pinkett and saying that what she was doing was ridiculous and asinine and no doubt only because her husband Will didn't receive an Oscar. That's, one might say, the old crabs in the barrel complex. But then again, someone had once mentioned that that's not an adequate analogy because crabs, number one, don't belong in a barrel. Number one, they don't belong in a barrel. So, I mean, so nowadays, I mean, that phrase doesn't really mean nothing, crabs in a barrel. Or is it lobsters in a barrel? See, I've forgotten it already. Interesting. But anyway, this woman, and from what I understand, she had also once worked with Will in that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air thing. And she was saying that they wanted to have done something then. Well, I guess that's just her rationale for being against Jada. Who knows, she might be being paid to come out against Jada. Because as I've also heard and had seen via internet, as some people like to call him, Wendell Williams. Because I think he's a man too. Anyway, even he has come out against Jada boycotting and others who want to boycott the Oscars. I mean, just outrageous. I mean, you know, they're trying to do something positive. And I mean, what black person can't see that is something positive? I mean, you can't even say that she's going about it the wrong way. Because, I mean, what's she doing other than saying, I'm not going? And then suggesting to other black actors and actresses for them not to go either. And then also for those of us at home, the suggestion is that we ought not watch it from home even. You know, it's really doing nothing, but it's doing something. Interesting. But anyway, as it went along, Jada had responded back to that woman, Janet Louise Herbert. She had responded back by even becoming more profound in a real sense and adding more to what she was actually saying. And when I heard her say what she said via that second video as a rebuttal to this Janet person, I thought to myself, wow, she's sounding more and more like her late friend Tupac Shakur, because her and Tupac were friends at one point. That's another issue, but yes, they were. I was quite pleased to have found that out. The Tupac would know somebody as pretty as her. God bless him and her. But let him rest in peace. Anyway, she has said this in the rebuttal to that Janet person who once played on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. She said, the whole Oscar controversy isn't really about the Oscars. Really, am I plea to ask all communities and people of color to take back our power is so that we can use it in all sectors of our community, and right now, specifically with African American people. We have some very serious issues that I think we as a people have to move together on. I'm hoping we can find ways to step together in this instead of finding ways to fight each other. And then she said, I got love for everybody. And I mean, the people jumped on her about that even, you know. But I'm quite sure, Jada, I'm quite sure that she can come out verbally swinging if she wants to. I'm quite sure she can do that too. But right now she's more so trying to take, as some might want to say, you know, the higher road. I mean, because she's trying to get her point across. And matter of fact, I had heard somebody put a Snoop Dogg video about him talking about the Oscars, and I will just say at least Jada doesn't talk like he does, because he was just outright foul in what he was saying about the Oscars and the way in which he was saying it. I mean, God bless him, but there's a better way to say that. But anyway, still on that Oscar situation, we had the issue with Stacey Dash, that girl. I never saw the sitcom Clueless, but I heard about it. Anyway, but then again, I recall her from the 2012 election, you know, when she was supporting Mitt Romney. That's when I really began to notice her as an idiot. But anyway, she was talking some other nonsense. She was saying that it says here that Stacey Dash talked with Steve Doocy. I'm just going to say what a name that is. D-O-O-C-Y. Steve Doocy. Think that's a real name? On Fox and Friends, where she said it was ludicrous that people were getting upset with the Oscar award for not nominating any black actors. And she thinks nothing is wrong with that, as many black actors and actresses there are, and who have, you know, gone to school for this craft, so to speak, and therefore gone to school, paid money to become actors and actresses. But you know, there's another issue with the actors and actresses situation as well, and that is, as I just said, you do have those people who have gone to school and thus paid money to become actors and actresses, yet they don't get jobs. But then again, all of a sudden, up come let us say a rapper. Regardless of how intelligent or not intelligent he or she may be, they get jobs as actors and actresses. Never went to acting school, but yet there they are. It's interesting, and it's a real wonder. But anyway, so she says, the way she's talking, there's nothing wrong with black people not being nominated for awards. Anyway, she goes further to say the awards ceremony has been the subject. No. The article says, well, let me even skip that part. This Stacey Dash person says, we have to make our minds. No, we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. But wait a minute, I have overtalked. We should have been going to a music break, so let me stop right here and back up. Okay, I'm going to go to the song from Audrey Jolie featuring Messiah, and the song is entitled Like It Like That. So this is Audrey Jolie featuring Messiah, Like It Like That. Okay, let's see what happens. Here we go, and we'll be right back.
It feels something is never good. Ain't nothing wrong with being bad. They just jealous of what we have. I call it misunderstood. Won't gamble on us, but you can bet I do a big, let the games go from bedside. Only need what you're giving, the rest five. Ain't too proud to beg, that's word the left eye. All alone with a nightcap, with me on the phone, having night chat. Always on the road, but I'll be right back. To put it on you though, I know you like that.
Like that.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morel Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Audrey Jolie featuring Messiah entitled Like It Like That. Okay, I think I might be getting a message here. Let's see what's going on. Okay. Okay, that's something else that I had asked earlier, but okay, I see that now. And so coming back to what I was just saying there. Okay, I'll just go into our phone number here. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Give us a call. Let's hear what you're thinking about what I'm talking about here. And the last thing I was on before we had gone to our music break was this person, Stacey Dash. But again, you know, this goes back into what I was saying earlier. I mean, even going back into what I was initially saying about that book in terms of George Washington and the happy slaves. Like I said, the mindset, the attitudes. You know, we have to consider and figure that just as Stacey Dash's mindset is, you had Negroes back on the slave plantation who had a mindset similar to hers, although different, but similar. I mean, situations are different, but they're somewhat the same. But it's interesting, very much so, very much so. So even it goes, this article here that I have here in quotes, it has her words saying that we have to make up our minds. Either we want to have segregation or integration. If we don't want segregation, then we need to get rid of channels like BET and the BET Awards and the NAACP Image Awards, where you are only awarded if you are black. If it were the other way around, we would be up in arms. It's a double standard. Interesting. But, I mean, really, SAD, sad, that an adult black person, man or woman, would be coming off like this in 2015. I mean, it's not necessarily obvious to a duck that the situations aren't the same thing. Because it ought to be obvious, even by her own, well, you can't even, you see, it's difficult to even talk into stuff like that. But it ought to be obvious that the Oscar Awards, as they currently are primarily, they only recognize white people, white artistic achievement, not black artistic achievement. But we could even say European, even more so, artistic achievement, not black or African artistic achievement. Interesting. And then again, I even thought, you know, even in going into her logic, such as if there was an actual, all right, let us say a level playing field and the situation were reversed and then blacks were in control and then blacks were handing out these these awards. Well, no, because I can't say it like that because, okay, let us put it like this here, because I had also read an article where her cousin, Damon Dash, was also talking, and he was talking in terms of what Jada Pinkett Smith was saying, that, you know, black actors and actresses need to get their own thing. Producers and writers need to get their own thing now and then again have their own award show and also include white actors and actresses and producers and writers and da-da-da-da, all those things. But one has to think and or consider, if that were the case, there would still be the Oscars, and then you'd have, you know, the black, let us say, whatever we might or they might call theirs. One would have to, well, one could imagine, you know, would a white actor or actress really want to go get a black award from some black group that's giving out an award? I mean, really? I mean, really go all out? I mean, that's something to consider. That's something to consider, because I don't think it would be just like that. I mean, not as much as, you know, the black actor and or actress is so eager to go get an Oscar. And besides that, I mean, even in saying it like that, I mean, the Oscars, that's an American thing. We who live in America are Americans, and especially black people. We've been here for centuries, as we know. And we had to fight for everything that we do, in fact, have in this country. We had to fight to even be free in this country, as quiet as it is kept. So still, the American, it's just the American thing. The Oscars is an American institution. And then again, because the Oscars is an American institution, that institution should cover us as well. We should be included in that as well. But because of racism, that's the reason why we are not. But also, something else that I do, in fact, wonder about, and that is that concerning Chris Rock, it is said that that he's going to host this Oscar thing this year. And what I wonder about is if people at home, because I don't know about the actors and actresses or people or black people who might physically go there, but if they do go there, I wonder, just like I wonder about the black folk at home, if they will watch the Oscars primarily to see what Chris Rock will say or not say. And if that might be the reason why they will elect to watch the Oscars. Not to see, well, because they know no black person's going to win because no black people nominated, but just to see what Chris Rock will say or not say. I wonder about that. But as for me, I'll wait till they post it on Facebook as to what he said or didn't say. Because to me, again, it don't really matter what he says or don't say to me, because I don't listen to him anyway. But that's another issue. Okay, so moving right along, I was going to read the article about Damon Dash, but time is moving right along also. But also, I wanted to have read out something about from this other woman. But wait a minute, let me get my eye on the time factor here. Okay, we're moving right along. Anyway, this white woman, she had written something. She's it says here. Let me read this here. It says this woman, Julie Delpy. Her last name is spelled D-E-L-P-Y. She says this, which I found totally ludicrous, but just that, ludicrous, but it's thought-provoking, not in the sense that it provokes profound thoughts, no, but it's something to think about in terms of feminism and this thing that that this black woman, Crenshaw, I forget her first name right now, the woman who came up with the idea and a concept termed intersectionality, you know, in terms of linking up with white women and da-da-da-da, about moving forward women in this country, regardless to their race or whatever. Anyway, this woman says, this article goes, frustration over Hollywood's diversity debate bubbles over at the Sundance Film Festival on Friday, as actress and writer Julie Delpy, says she felt muzzled by the industry and added that there's nothing worse than being a woman in this business. Delpy, who was Oscar nominated as a writer both for Before Midnight and Before Sunset, said that she said that she said she has raised the issue of how few women were members of the Academy of Motion Pictures, Art, and Sciences and was shut down. Two years ago, I said something about the Academy being very white male, which is the reality, and I was slashed to pieces by the media. It's funny, women can't talk. I sometimes wish I were African-American because people don't bash them afterward. What planet is or isn't she living on to have said something like that? Really. But, you know, I had brought up the, like I said, her words were provocative in the sense that they provoked thought in me and thinking in terms of, you know, the feminist, I guess I'll say more so the white feminist spiel, mantra, about the privileged white male. I mean, in a real sense, I mean, when you think about it, as I think about it, as I do lately, the white feminist likes talking about and having others talk about exclusively the white privileged male. But at the same time, by talking about him, she's deflecting attention away from herself. That is, the white privileged female. That's what I got to thinking about, you know, not just now, but of late because of the intersectionality idea, concept. I now think like that this is some kind of ruse by white men and white women both to have the white woman on the sideline constantly pointing the finger at him, the white male, pointing him out, and other women, black women in particular, at her side, pointing out the black male. My mistake, not the black male, but the white male. White male privilege. But at the same time, she, the white woman, is just as privileged as that white man. But it's like, what, we don't see that? Why, because that white feminist is talking so loud? Interesting. But yeah, but she talked about that she wished she was an African American. Yeah, right. Wish on, and then again, keep, shit. I'm sorry, but yeah, right. When I have been told by other white people that if they were black, no. What they told me based upon them seeing me struggle as I was struggling forth throughout my life, that if they were black, they'd kill themselves. Like, and believe me, she thinks the same way, but want to act like she don't. But also, well, all right, right now we have another song to go into, and I'm going to go into this song by Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. So this is Sheree Lurie, her song called Mirage. Let me get my pointer down here. So here we go, and we'll be right back.
I can get it. Let me get it. I know you've been sipping. And that liquor got you feeling.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And we just heard a song from Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. That was Sheree Lurie, her song called Mirage. And right now, I'm thinking in terms of what am I going to do in terms of what I'm going to go into next, because I see that we got about 10 minutes left here. Yes, we do, about 10 minutes left. Excuse me, I'm still getting over this cold that I had from last week, and, well, the weather, I blame it on the weather, naturally, and I guess other factors, too, I guess. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but I blame it on the weather. But going back into what I was saying, I mean, because these issues are lengthy that I want to go into, such as the Bill Cosby issue, and then also the Spike Lee movie Chirac, and I also wanted to get into the Donald Trump thing, but then again, that can all be for next week as well. But having said that, let's see here. I want to also, well, I guess I'll read this out because time is passing, and it's just about enough time for just this that I want to read out right here. Let me see here. Okay, yes. There are two things here that I got. I want to make sure that I have them both. But anyway, this is concerning still like somewhat a part of the Oscar situation, the movies, things like that. And then and reading stuff that I was reading on the Facebook about the Oscars and, you know, my thoughts on them and so on and so forth. I had written this out on Facebook, and I figured that I'd hold on to it and read it out into the show, because it's something that pertains to myself personally, and it also might connect with some other people out there listening as well. Okay, because again, we're all the same, but we're different. But then again, we're all different, but the same. Be surprised how much we are in fact connected. But anyway. I'll start it out this way. It says, concerning movies and the media, I'm so turned off from both right now. Sad to say, but true to say, I'm so tired of seeing Caucasians paraded before my eyes always in a good light, as in their good intentions being spoken of or shown. In the media, even, if he's a serial killer, his demons are shown to be exorcised as in being battled against. He's a good guy, although he has all these faults. Interesting. And then again, it's the beginning of a new year still, early 2016. Maybe this move will pass. Yet, in thinking as I currently am, I'm reminded of being in a drug and rehab program. At a certain stage of the program, we were supposed to be about honing our job-seeking skills as delineated by the program. I was given a notice. I had to meet with the vocational rehabilitation counselor, basically because I wasn't going through all of the motions they had told us to do or employ. The meeting consisted of two Caucasian counselors and myself. They had my file before them and said to me, based upon the file, it indicated that I'm not following the procedures of the vocational rehab steps. They then asked me what was going on. What's the problem? Let me mention, I'm very much aware of where I am. Basically, I'm in a mental institution / hospital. The basic premise here is individuals involved with drugs or alcohol have a mental illness or issue. Knowing this and reflecting on their question put to me, I replied, I haven't been following this portion of the program because I have lost faith in white people in terms of being hired for a job somewhere. Needless to say, The both of them were surprised by my answer, as I knew they would be. Yet, what I said was true, and I also knew, being in a mental hospital type setting, I could say this and not have any serious repercussions come up. They asked me a few more questions and then told me I could go to my next grouping or session. I didn't hear anything else from the vocational rehab counselors throughout the rest of my stay there. I found that very interesting. Anyway, I also further wrote, yes, at the moment, I got it bad. It's to be seen how I'll feel as the days and months go by. I'm already thinking, though, this year, I'll probably do more reading than I have been doing in a while. Going to have to do something to fill this void in time that I'm experiencing. It's never boring, though. That's one thing about, my life or living situation at this point in time. And then again, having gone through that drug rehab program, because I never will forget how in there, we were in a big room, about 28 of us. We had a counselor talking to us. And he had said, I want to ask you all a question. He said, as of this moment, right now, right here, can you envision in your minds never picking up a drink or a drug ever again? I'm sitting there, first time in a program ever. I'm thinking to myself, right. Can you imagine how boring that would be? That's what I thought then. I didn't know that not drinking or drugging wouldn't be boring. I didn't know that. But I know now that it's not boring at all. Hell, I'm never bored. And God bless for that. I mean, I used to get bored, I guess, when I drank and drugged. I don't know what was what, but all I'm saying now is that, like I just said there, it's never boring. Never. I mean, I can just sit with my thoughts and everything is all good. But anyway, I wanted to have read that out there about the way I am with movies and things and the Oscars and all these other award programs. I don't listen to those things, but I'm very much aware of what's going on with them. I guess perhaps if there were more black participation in terms of winning these awards, then I might look at them. Because just case in point. Growing up, I grew up in the 70s, early 80s. And back then, you didn't see any black people at the Oscars. that big room where they would be. You didn't see no black faces there. Not then, not in the 70s and early 80s. You did not. Not one, honestly. Not one. Well, you might have seen Sidney Poitier or Bill Cosby or maybe Lena Horne, but that was about it, So, and also, that was our actors and actresses I just mentioned there. But then again, concerning singers, Temptations, Delphonics, Bill Withers. I mean, name any act singer. And, for the Grammys, I guess, it's not the Grammys, but whichever award show that is that gives out awards for, best entertainers concerning singing and whatnot. No black singers got any of those awards. Because back then, I would look at those shows, but not because I wanted to, but because we only had one TV, and my two sisters, they watched that stuff. And if they watched it, Democratic 2-1, I had to watch it too. And I would ask them, damn, why do y'all look at this? No black people ever win. And they told me, well, it's just good to see who do win and then what they do say. Oh, well. So I had to watch them. But what I did notice that watching those singer shows, I was thinking dumbly or naively, I guess they're going to mention somebody's Temptations or one of those groups. But no, never did. And then some group would win I ain't never heard of. And I say, have you all ever heard of these people? They say, that don't matter if we did or not. They won. Whatever. But anyway, well, I was going to read something else out there, but I'll probably read this next week because, again, time is passing. As I'm seeing now, we have about 2 minutes left, and I don't want to really get started on it because, I won't get started on it. Okay, I was just told that we got about a few seconds left. So I don't know if I can go on and, play the music out now. or just, you know, talk it out until the 90-second, I was just told we had like 90 seconds left until the 90-second period has expired. But anyway, well, like next week, I'm going to definitely get into the Bill Cosby issue as well as the Donald Trump situation and also Chirac. And also Chirac, because we need to talk about that. Well, I want to talk about those issues, and we'll see how that go. Okay, so right now then, I'm going to go on and end it with a song. Let's say from Chris Brown, the song entitled Goodbye. Interesting choice. So until next week, everybody, Urban Society signing off. Good night.
Gotta talk. Dang, I know, but it's just some things I gotta get off my chest. All right.
Nobody don't feel the way you once felt about you. Girl, it's not you, it's me. some problem though. Okay. Oh, okay. No problem. Okay, no problem. Oh, okay. No problem. Thank you.